Now, I need, and this is going to be different, so parents, I need your help, parents. I would like every child, every young person, teenagers included. I'd like all children, all young people from teenagers down to whoever can sit, to come up front for like 2.5 minutes. Just come up front and sit on these front pews. Teens, be a good example, you teens. Come and just sit on these front pews for me for just about 2.5 minutes, and then I'm going to let you go back to your seats. Come on up, Layla. Some of you are looking like you're shy. I know you're not shy. I know you. Hey, Bobby. So come on up. Sit on these front pews. Come on up, Lily. There's room. There's a whole pew over here. There's plenty of room. Just come up and sit on these front pews for like 2.5 minutes. Lots of room for everybody. Thank you, Trevin, for being a good example, for leading the flock up here. We got some more? Are we missing? Lily, you can come up. Lucas is right here. You can sit with Lucas. See, Levi made a spot for you right in the middle. Awesome. Okay. We got most of you on the front pews. Trevin, you're pretty close, bud. This is cool. Y'all can stay up here the whole sermon if you want to, but I know you won't want to. All right, so here's the deal. Do y'all know what our theme is for the church this year? You know what theme we've got for the church this year? Can I give you a clue? You know what our theme is this year? Walking with Jesus. You know it is, right? Now, that's just the theme for the old people, right? It's the theme of the church just for the old people, right? No, it's the theme for the whole church. And guess what? That includes you. You know what this church wants for you more than anything else? This church wants for you more than anything else that you'll walk with Jesus. And so here's what I want to give you today. You like stickers? I like stickers. These are good stickers, too. They're not those cheap things. You got those cheap things? I want to give you a sticker, all right? And for you old people, there'll be some of these out on the table for you when you leave, but you have to wait your turn. They're getting one right now. We're giving you a sticker that wants to remind you how much this church wants you to walk with Jesus. Now, you can take this and put it on your water bottle. You can take this and put it on your folder at school. You can take that. Now, these are good stickers now. Don't waste them like sticking them on your shirt or something because, you know, then. But here we go. Trevin, pass those out, bud. So you take, and these will be a reminder to you. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to walk with Jesus. All right. Almost everybody's got one. Now, this church, you listening to me? This church loves you guys. They weren't paying attention. I'm going to say it again because they weren't paying attention. They thought I was talking to you. This church loves you guys. Now they're paying attention. They had to wake up. This church loves you guys. And this church wants nothing more than for you to spend the rest of your life walking with Jesus. And so today's sermon is for you. The old people are going to fall asleep, all right? They're going to, like they always do. They're going to fall asleep because this sermon's not for them. This sermon's for you. This sermon's about you walking with Jesus for the rest of your life, all right? So here's what I want you to do. We're walking with Jesus. I want you to quietly walk back to your seats first, all right? And then I want you to pay attention for the rest of this sermon as we're going to talk about walking with Jesus while I'm young. Are you young? You're young.
This is a high-quality sticker.
That's a high-quality, that's what I'm saying. It's a high-quality sticker, I know. Walking with Jesus while I'm young. Now, some of you still feel like you're young. Jimmy, you still feel young. You've been feeling something else the last few weeks, but you still feel young. You still look young, mostly. Walking with Jesus while I'm young. You got your Bibles? The young person who just came back and sat next to you, they got their Bible out? Turn to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. Luke chapter 2. Jesus is 12 years old. That's pretty young, right? We had some young people up here that are 12 or pretty close to being 12. Jesus is 12 years old. And I want you to think about God giving us this story. What do you know about the life of Jesus from 0 to 30 years old? Not much. You know he's born. You know he's where they laid him. You know the shepherds came. You know some months later that the wise men came. You fast forward 12 years, and here's Jesus. And then you go into 30 years old. We don't have much at all. Why does God give us this one story in the life of Jesus? Young people, he put it in there for you. You paying attention today? What I want to do today, I hope you're taking notes. What I want to do today is I want to take the word walking, W-A-L-K-I-N-G. I want to take the word walking, and I want to share with you what you need to do in order to be walking with Jesus. This isn't going to take us long, but I want you to get this, all right? I want you to get what does it mean. Now, the old people have already checked out because they think it's not for them. The secret thing is, it is for them. Don't tell them. It is for them too. So they're going to get it whether they want it or not, but it's for them too. It's for everybody. What's involved with walking with Jesus? Number one, you ready? What letter are we starting with? Starting with the letter W. What is walking with Jesus involved? Number one, it involves me wanting God's approval more than anybody else's. Look in chapter 2, verse 40. You with me? You got your Bibles? Go to chapter 2 and verse 40. Bible says that Jesus was growing, all right? And as he's growing, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That word grace there, you might have the word, some translations might have the word favor. There are some people who would rather have the approval of people than they would of God. There were actually some people like that in the Bible in John chapter 12. They wanted people to praise them more than they wanted God to praise. Can you think that about that? Who do you want more approval? You want God's approval or you want people's approval? Some people wanted people's approval more. You've heard about Paul in the Bible. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he said, if I'm trying to get the approval of people, I can't get the approval of God at the same time. I want you to think about that. For me to walk with Jesus means I've got to want the approval of God more than I want the approval of anybody else. That's what it says about Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. He was finding favor with God. Some of you are going to go to school this week, and you're going to want the approval of your friends. You're going to want the approval of those around you. You're going to go and play in your sports this week, and you're going to want the approval of those who are around you. And that's okay. That's okay. But what's more important than that is that you walk with Jesus so that you have God's approval every day. That's what I want you to get. I want you to think, when I leave here, Who do I want patting me on the back? Well, if God could pat you on the back, you want God patting you on the back. When I leave here today, who do I want liking me and liking what I'm doing and being happy and proud of me for what I'm doing? That needs to be God more than anybody else. Be like Jesus in John 8 and verse 29. Jesus in John 8, 29, the Bible says he was always trying to do those things that would make God happy. Young people, if you'll do those things that'll make God happy, everything else in your life will be okay. You make God happy, you're going to make your parents happy at the same time. You'll make yourself happy. And you can go and get a happy meal, but you couldn't be any happier having a happy meal than you would making God happy, because everybody's going to be happy. Number one, walking with Jesus. What's it involve? I need to want God's approval more than anybody else. Number two, letter A. What's involved in walking with Jesus? You in Luke chapter 2? What happens in verse 41? If you're going to walk with Jesus, you need to be like Jesus and always go to church. What do you see in verse 41? The Bible says his parents went to Jerusalem. How often? Every year at the feast of the Passover. So when he was 12 years old, where'd they go? They went the same place they always went. Every time, and I'm using this expression, go to church accommodatively this morning, okay? Every time God wanted Jesus to go to church, guess where Jesus was? He was at church. Every time, do you see the word every in verse 41? Every time God wanted Jesus at church, he was there. That's when he's 12 years old. Guess what happens when he's 30 years old? You fast forward to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he's 30 years old, and the Bible says that he went to the synagogue. Do you know why the Bible says he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day? Because it was his custom. Where and how and when did it become Jesus' custom to go to church? All the way back when he was a kid at home. That's an interesting expression in Luke chapter 4, as was his custom. He grew up going to church. And so when he got older, guess what he kept doing? He kept going to church. You want to walk with Jesus, young people? You need to always go to church. And you're like, yep, that's what Mr. David's supposed to say. He's the preacher. He's supposed to say that. What did Jesus do? Here's Jesus. And that's his determination. That's his focus. You know, sometimes I've had people ask me, should I make my children go to church even if they don't want to? Should I make my children go to... And they follow that up by saying, you know, I don't want to turn them off from church. I don't want to drive them away. You ever make your children go to school when they don't want to? You ever make your children go to the doctor when they don't want to? I mean, is what our children want, is that the driving force here? Should I make my children go to school even if they, or make my children go to church even if they don't want to? Can I flip that around for a second? What if a young person came and said, should I make my parents go to church even if they don't want to? You know what the answer to that? You know, if somebody came, you know what the answer to that would be? Yes. Make your parents go to church even if they don't want to. You know why? Because it's where your parents need to be. There was a young person in this congregation many years ago, the age of some of you young people, young person in this congregation many years ago who wanted to come to church more than his parents would bring him. Wanted to be involved in the youth group, but his parents wouldn't bring him. And he talked to me. Said, they won't bring me. I want to be here. You know where that not so young man is today? He's not in church today. He hasn't been for a long time. Because he didn't always go to church. You know why he didn't always go to church? Because his parents wouldn't bring him. Young people, you know what you need to do? You need to get up on Sunday morning and tell your mom and dad, we're going to church. Get in the car and take me. Get the keys. Drive me there. Because that's where I want to be. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's not just on Sunday. Church is not just something, but it's all of my life. And if it's all of my life, then it's definitely got to be on Sunday. You want to walk with Jesus? Want God's approval more than anybody else. You want to walk with Jesus? Always go to church. Do it for the rest of your life. What about the letter L? Look in Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was in church, what was he doing in church? What if you got left in Jerusalem all by yourself and your parents were out of town? They're not there to watch you. What would you be doing? Look in verse 46. So it was after 3 days. They found him in the temple. And guess what Jesus is doing? What do you need to do if you're going to walk with Jesus? You need to always go to church. And when you're there, you need to be listening and participating when you're at church. Look at what verse 46 says. He was sitting. He's in the temple. He's at church. He's sitting in the midst of the teachers. He's both listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Jesus goes to church in Luke chapter 2. He's a kid. What's he doing? Is it game time? All right, it's church time. It's game time. No, it wasn't game time. It was God time when Jesus went to church. He's there and he's listening. As a 12-year-old boy, he's listening and he's participating in what's going on. Is it ever too young for a child to learn how to sit and to participate and to be a part of a worship service? I don't think it's ever too young. Giselle, thank you for bringing him. It's never too young. Those little seeds get planted in their hearts really early. Jesus tells the parable of the soils in Matthew 13 and Luke 8 and Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about that good soil. The good soil, it hears the word of God, it accepts it, and it obeys it. It's never too early, parents, to cultivate that good soil. Not just by having your children here, but by having them involved in the worship service. Not just sitting through it, but participating in it. I believe that children can learn to participate. I believe they should learn to participate from a very young age. I think they can do it. I love hearing young people sing. Even when they can't read, I love hearing young people sing in worship. I don't care if they know the words. One of my favorite stories from me as being a dumb kid, my favorite song growing up was number 714 in this book. It wasn't 714, it was a different number in the old book. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. The title of that song is Trust and Obey. We sing that 5 times in that song, right? Because it's in the chorus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't know what they were singing. We didn't have this up on the screen. And even if we did, it didn't matter. We had it in the book, but I couldn't read. I was a little kid. I couldn't read the words. Everybody's singing, trust and obey, trust and obey, trust and obey. Well, I used to help my dad work on his cars. We'd go out to the, and you know, back in those days, there was a lot of work to be done on those cars. So when I was singing out, and I love to hear you children sing out in worship, but I was singing out, but I wasn't singing trust and obey, because I didn't know that's what the song said. But I was singing, rusting away, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to rusting away. Because, you know, that's what our cars were doing. And we'd go out and we'd work on the cars and take the Bondo and, you know, try to scrape off the rust. And so I was familiar with rusting away because that's what our cars were doing. Man, I was belting it out, rusting away. I love to hear young people sing. I don't care if they know the words. Your children need to sing. They need to pray in church. They need to know that prayer time is we just fold our hands, close our eyes, bow our heads, and parents reach over there and hold their hands still and just sit there and pray with them. Your children need to give. Your children need to give. From the youngest age, when that basket is passed, they need to be putting something in it. And during the sermon, children need to be a part of it. This isn't just give them a Game Boy so that they can play something and pass the time. You know what seed that's planting? This is a time for your children to be involved. Whether it's making tally marks, I love that out in the lobby that we keep those sheets out there, these worship notes. I love having these out there for kids, for parents to pick up on the way in with a variety of things for a variety of ages inside to do during the sermon. I love kids making tally marks. How many times did he say Jesus? How many times did he say Bible? How many times did he say church? You make up the words. Or come and ask the preacher, hey, what words should we be listening for today? And little kids, even if they can't read, can make tally marks. Taking notes. Writing down, if nothing else, the Bible verses, the verse references that are on the screen, when they can start writing simple things, writing those Bible verses down on the screen. As they get older, writing the main points. As they get older, some of my favorite teens in this church are the ones who just sit there and they take notes all the way through the sermon. And whether it's these worship notes or whether it's these notebooks that we get, these aren't just for the old folks. These are for any folks in this church who want to take notes every time during a sermon. And guess what happens when you take notes during a sermon and you go see Mrs. Tracy afterwards? She's got some goodies for you. For the kids. For the, clarify that. For the kids who take notes and go show those notes to Miss Tracy. She's got something for you. What a great way to do that. So I was thinking about this point this week. I went and pulled this thing off of the shelf. It's up on the highest shelf in my office. On the side it says, Old Church Notebook. It's old. Back in those days, kids, everything was in black and white. So black and white. This was apparently a folder that I took to church when I was probably about Jesus' age in Luke chapter 2. And I flipped through this when I pulled it off the other day. Had a flood of memories come back about sitting there with my parents and how my parents would keep me engaged, making sure I was doing something during the sermon that was productive to learning the Bible. I'm not going to show this to you because this is kind of personal stuff. But your kids need to have memories that they're making, that they're listening and participating at church, so that when they get older, they're still walking with Jesus. Church time is not just mom and dad's time and I'm just going to sit and pass the time. It's everybody's time. It doesn't matter the age. Every time God wanted Jesus to be at church, he was there. He was listening. He was participating. What's involved walking with Jesus? What's the K all about? Verse 49 is a fun verse. Verse 49, they come and ask him, did you not know we sought you anxiously? And different translations are going to have different things in verse 49. And you saw that in the reading this morning. But here's what, walking with Jesus, what does it involve? It involves knowing your purpose and your identity in life. When they came and said to Jesus, did you not know we sought you anxiously? What are you doing? And he said, did you not know? And literally what it says in the Greek language is, did you not know I must be in the things of my Father? That doesn't make sense, does it? I must be in the things of my Father. Some of your translations say, did you not know I must be in my about my Father's business? Some of your translations say, did you not know I must be in my Father's house? The word house, the word business, they're not in the original Greek Testament. It says, did you not know I must be in the things of my... And so it doesn't make sense. What do you mean the things of my Father? And so translators are trying to figure out, is he talking about doing the business of the Father? Or is he talking about being in the house of the Father? Right there, he's in the temple. And the answer to that is yes. That's what it is. Jesus says, don't you know I've got a Father in heaven and I must be about his things. I must be about his business. I must be in his house. Jesus knew his purpose. 12 years old, he knew his purpose. Rod, you're not 12 yet. You can know your purpose. Lucas, you're not 12 yet. You already know your purpose. And his purpose was tied to his identity. He's my Father. And as my Father, that makes me his. And because that's how I identify as his, that tells me what my purpose is. How do you walk with Jesus? You know what your purpose is on this life. What's your purpose? Is your purpose to go to school and get good grades? Well, yes, that's a good purpose. But that purpose has to fit within your purpose of serving God. Putting him first, walking with Jesus, identifying with him first and foremost in everything that I do. Young people, listen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, Bible says you belong to Jesus. You belong to him. And since you belong to him, he should be your life. Colossians 3 and verse 4 says he should be your whole life. He should be the most important person to you. I'll have it on the screen here in a little bit. He should be your best friend. He should be the one that, number one, that you want to please and you want to have his approval. He ought to be the one that you're always going to his house to worship, because that's where you want to be all the time. And when you're in his house to worship, you're listening and participating because that's your identity. How do you walk with Jesus? You got to know why you're here. You got to know where you came from. God made me. You got to know why I'm here to serve God. You got to know where you're going. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to have a family. I'm going to, you know, raise a family. Then I'm going to retire, and then we're going to travel the world, and da-da-da-da-da. And then where are you going? That's what matters. Then. And that's what you need to be focused on now. Know your purpose. Know your identity. Letter I. What's the letter I all about? Young people, you listening? I want you to go home today, and I want you to insist on something. You know what insist means? I want you to demand something. I want you to go in the house and say, this is the way it's going to be around here. All right? The letter I begins the word insist. So I want you to be like, I want you to walk with Jesus. I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to insist on something when you go home today. I want you to insist on obeying your parents. Just say, this is the way it's gonna be. What do you mean? Look at verse 51. Look at what it says about Jesus in verse 51. Jesus is the Son of God. And if you want to get real technical, He is God. He's God on this earth. And what did He do for Joseph and Mary? He was subject to them. He submitted to them. He respected them and He obeyed them. If you're going to walk with Jesus, that's what you need to do. Young people, your parents have a job. You may not believe this. You're probably not going to believe this. They have a hard job. Rod and Sophie, your mom's got a hard job. It's not what she does to people's teeth. That's pretty hard, too. She's got a hard job. Every parent in here has a hard job of being a parent. Young people don't think that. They think, oh, that's easy. I'm super easy. You're not super easy. Give me a break. Being a parent's hard. But their job is to help you to love God. That's their job. Their job is to help you to walk with Jesus and to please God. That's their job, is to bring you up in the nurture, the admonition, the training, the instruction of the Lord. And they're doing their best. They've got you here today, don't they? They're doing their best. That's their job. You know what your job is? Your job is to insist on obeying them. Colossians chapter 3 says, children, you need to obey your parents because this is the will of the Lord for you. This is what's pleasing to the Lord. And what's our first thing of walking with Jesus? Wanting His approval. Wanting His approval above everything else. And so when I'm inside the house, when I'm outside the house, I need to insist, you know what? I'm going to be like Jesus. Jesus insisted, even at 12 years of age, He insisted on obeying His parents. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you need to do it. Letter N. What's the letter N all about? Letter N's about this whole entire context, verse 40 down through verse 52. And that is, don't you ever be ashamed of who you are. Never be ashamed that you belong to God. Jesus wasn't. When you read through this, do you see Jesus being ashamed in Luke chapter 12? Or Luke chapter 2 at age 12? He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to want God's approval above anybody else. He's not ashamed to be in church. He's not ashamed to be listening to these old people in church and to answering their questions. He's not ashamed to be doing that. He's not ashamed that He knows His purpose and He's going to live out that purpose regardless. He's not ashamed of that. And He's not ashamed when He goes home in verse 51. He's not ashamed to go home and to obey His parents. Young people, there's not any shame in any of that. There is not any shame in knowing what the Bible says and in doing what the Bible says. If somebody wants to make you feel ashamed of that, that doesn't need to be somebody you need to hang around. You need to be around people who don't make you feel ashamed for knowing what's right and doing what is right. We don't have time to look in 2 Timothy 1. You can write those verses down. Look at them when you get home today. Paul was writing to his friend Timothy, a younger man, and he's basically telling Timothy, there's nothing for you to be ashamed of. You've got a gift given to you by God. Stir up that gift. Use that gift for God. And don't worry about what other people are saying. You hold fast to those commandments that God has given you. Don't be ashamed of those. And just keep doing what God wants you to do. That's what Paul said to a young man. That's what I say to you today. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. You believe in God? Don't be ashamed of that. You believe that the Bible is from God? Don't be ashamed of that. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Don't be ashamed of that. You know why you shouldn't be ashamed of that? Because that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. There's evidence for that. Do you believe that you're sitting on a pew right now? Are you ashamed that you believe? You shouldn't be ashamed. Why? Because that's a fact. You are sitting on a pew. There is as much evidence for you sitting on a pew right now as there is for the existence of God. There is. Don't be ashamed of truth. Don't be ashamed of living for God. Last point, letter G, verse 52. Walking with Jesus involves growing. And this growing never stops. All right? One day you're going to stop growing up. All right? You're just going to reach a point. You're going to stop growing up. And you might even over time, you might not like this, you might even over time start to get a little shorter. That's a long time down the road, okay? But at some point you're gonna stop growing up. Now you know what happens sometimes when you stop growing up? You start, you know, you can't go this way anymore, so you know you start going a different way. But here's the deal: you never stop growing as a Christian. Young people, there are some really old people in here. I mean, really old. So much so that they've got gray hair, and when you get really old, the hair just leaves, all right? It's just like we're gone. There's some really old people in here, but they're not done growing in Jesus. Verse 52, what does it say about Jesus? He increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Jesus lived his life growing, and 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, he left us an example that we should do that too. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And that's why we're using this theme this year of walking with Jesus. We're just following in his steps. We are trying to grow like Jesus grew. Growing in all of these areas. I want to challenge you to be a transformer. To be a transformer and transform yourself. Every single day when you wake up, transform yourself out of your grouchy self. Because you're grouchy when you get up in the morning, aren't you? I'm not even in your room, and I bet you're grouchy. I want you to transform yourself when you wake up from being Mr. Grouchy or Mrs. Grouchy. Transform yourself into, I'm going to be like Jesus today. I'm going to grow like Jesus today. And I'm going to continue every day trying to be more and more like Jesus. And I'm going to work on him being my best friend. You like hanging out with your best friend, don't you? You ask your mom and dad, hey, can I hang out with her? Can I hang out with him? You've got a best friend that you love being around. When Jesus is your best friend, you're going to always want to be around him. You're going to always want to do those things that he thinks are cool. You're going to always want to do those things and be in those places where he is. There's a lot more we could see in Luke chapter 2. But young people, this church loves you. Loves you. It wants nothing more than for you to start at this age where you are right now walking with Jesus and to spend the rest of your life walking with him until the day that you walk right into heaven with him. I told this story in the Tuesday morning class this past week, but it seems like a good way to wrap this up. The Bible talks to us about the man named Enoch. We don't know a whole lot about the man named Enoch. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about him. We read about him in Genesis chapter 5. We read about him in Hebrews chapter 11. Nah, you read about him over in the book of Jude, but you don't get a whole lot about Enoch. But here's what we know about Enoch. And if you're in the His Kids class, this is the thing we know about Enoch. He walked with God. Sounds like our theme, doesn't it? Enoch walked with God. And the Bible tells in Genesis chapter 5, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's a weird expression. And he was not, for God took him. What does that mean? He walked with God, and what we learn about Enoch is he never died. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? He walked with God and he never died. There's not many people that you read about in the Bible who never died, are there? But he never died. The day came where people started looking for Enoch. And they said, where'd he go? And he wasn't there anymore. Why not? Because the Bible says God took him. There was a preacher many years ago who made up a story, but it sounded pretty good. He said, you know, old Enoch, he got up every morning and he went on a walk with God. This guy was, he was in tip-top shape, right? I mean, when you're walking with God, you got to keep up. He goes every morning on a walk with God. But one day, here's what this preacher said in his story. One day, the end of the day was coming. The sun was setting, and God looked over at Enoch, and he says, you know what? This has been a good walk today, but, you know, we're a lot closer to my house than we are to your house, so why don't you just come home with me today? And he was not anymore on this earth because God took him home. I don't know that that's the way that it went, but I love that story. They went on a walk with God. At the end of the day, you know what? You're closer to my house than you are to your house. Why don't you come home with me? Young people, you know what this church wants for you? It's for you to walk with Jesus for the rest of your life so that when you get done, you're closer to his house than you are to this one. As you think about where you are, all of you, young and old, choose today. Choose today to walk with Jesus, that you're going to do it now and you're going to do it for the rest of your life. To those of you who are a little older, and this isn't directed at our children, but those of you who are a little older, you need to think about walking into eternity with Jesus. You need to make sure that you are ready. If today is the day for you to walk into eternity, you need to make sure that today is the day that you're ready. And it starts by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Making up your mind to stop doing wrong and start doing right. Repenting of sins. Those sins put Jesus on the cross. I don't want those anymore. I'm going to turn my life in the direction of God. And if you're ready to make that decision today, recognizing that you have committed sins that are separating you from God right now, then you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that you have in Jesus, and today you can be baptized. Immersed in water, buried with Christ, so that all of your sins are forgiven. He adds you into his church. He adds you into his registry in heaven. And he just asks you to serve him faithfully for the rest of your life. Are you where you need to be? Are you walking with Jesus right now? Are you ready to walk into eternity? If you're not, come just as you are right now, as together we stand and sing.